Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabby Dunn.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Bad with Money mailbag episode. This is a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. I'm Gabby Dunn. This week, I am joined by Mal Blum to react and respond to your messages and emails. Mal is a musician and my fiance. Let's get
into it.
Maracas!
It's not a maraca. It's just a shaker. A maraca is a different instrument.
Can't tell me nothing. Okay. On today's show, I'm going to read an email from Allison about our guest Stephanie Lee of The Boring Episode, one from Canada about transition costs, one from Carrie about hysterectomies, and one from Asa about the spreadsheet they made for their transition expenses. Plus, Nate writes in from Germany about a similar topic. In the second half of the show, I'm going to read and listen to a voicemail from Cass that is about detransitioning, but not in a TERF way. So trigger warning for that. I think it's really well done, and it's a really good message, but... If that's not your bag, baby, trigger warning. Then there's an email from Jude with a thank you, an email about a non-binary student, and one from Sammy in Australia. It's a very trans episode. Here's an email from Allison. Hi, Gabby. I've been listening since the first episode, but I've never written in. I'm behind on episodes, and I just listened to the one with Stephanie Lee. I wanted to say how much I appreciate this advice. It may be boring, but it's extremely useful. Sometimes in recent episode seasons, the topics have become more high level and intricate. I'm still working my way through bettering my finances, and I can't tell you how much you and this podcast have helped me. But the basics are still so helpful. Just want to say my credit score was about 520, and now it's about 670, and I'm so proud of that. You really helped. I understand investing and houses are real things people want to get into, but those are definitely not realities for me now, if ever. I'm focused on savings, paying down debt, affording food. I just spend a lot on takeout and retirement. I want to be able to treat myself while preparing for the future, but I honestly can't say I see myself buying a house. Maybe a condo if I can get there. I don't want to live desperately is what I'm trying to say. I want to do more than survive. And you've really helped me make those moves. Thanks for everything, Allison, she, they.
I found out the other day that some people think that when you're putting money into, like, for example, a Fidelity like Roth IRA or whatever, that it is automatically investing it for you. It's not. When you're depositing money, when you're depositing, some people think that when you deposit the money in those accounts, like it's automatic. It's not. You have to then go and like pick the investment. So it's just like in, it's just waiting for you in your account. It's not doing anything. Just
huge.
So you know, if you didn't know that, now you know that. I didn't realize people thought that. I think probably I thought that at one point, but I saw something the other day, someone being like, did you know this? And it's like, more people should know that.
Please. Oh my God. Stamp that on my forehead. Okay.
Oh, I don't think you should stamp it on your forehead.
Very important. Go check if you actually have your money invested. My God. Okay.
You see that every time you look in the mirror?
Well, it would be good for me to know. Okay. And it wouldn't be for me to see it, because if I had it stamped on my forehead, it would look backwards to me in the mirror. It would really be mostly for other people to see.
T-shirt.
I'm a hero.
You just wear a t-shirt.
A t-shirt. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. This is an email from Jude. Thank you. Dear Gabby and Mal, I wrote in a few weeks ago about the problem with disability and finances and such, and you read my email on the air. I signed it as Jude, a name I'm trying out, and hearing you read and respond to my letter was the first time I'd heard anyone address me as Jude. I mean, people have typed it before, but it's not quite the same. I felt so many emotions, I'm not sure I could even identify when you called me Jude. And it made me feel like, yes, this is the name for me. It'll be a bit yet, but I'm going to tell my therapist that's what I want to be addressed as, and eventually I'll tell my family and hopefully complete some legal documents eventually. I wish I could express how much your simple action meant to me. Thank you, sincerely, Jude.
That's nice. Yeah, sometimes
Jude,
you don't
Jude,
know.
Jude, Jude, Jude. Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Does that help? I'll say it more times. Jude, 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 Jude.
Oh, no, you have to finish it. You can't just say the first part over and over because it sounds weird.
Jude.
No, but if you don't finish.
Nickelodeon. Okay.
If you don't say the D-E, you see what I'm saying?
Jude, I am saying Jude.
I know, but when you say it fast in rapid succession, it cuts it up. Never mind. It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, sometimes you don't know what's right until you hear it and then you feel that it's right.
Defo. Well, congrats, Jude. Jude for
mazel,
president.
Mazel.
Okay.
Wow.
Here is an email from Anonymous. Hi, Gabby, and hopefully Mal. I need your advice as... I need your advice as fellow members of the Alphabet Mafia. I'm a singer-actor who also teaches private voice lessons on the side. However, I've never felt like a good teacher. Imposter syndrome sucks. So a couple years ago, I stopped taking on new students and have gradually phased out my current students. However, one of my remaining students is an autistic non-binary junior in high school with conservative parents. I hesitate to stop teaching them because I know I'm one of the only adults in my students' life who can be a truly safe space to discuss their queerness. They're out to their mom, who is no longer openly negative, but still thinks it's all just a phase. They are not out to dad, who threw a fit at the thought of my student cutting their hair short for the school musical. Mom was at least willing to buy sports bras for my student, but then never got around to actually buying any. So all to say, my student recently was able to save up some birthday gift money to purchase a binder. A friend with supportive parents ordered it online and had it delivered to that friend's house. They keep it in their locker at school and change into it when they arrive and then back out of it when they leave. As a cis woman, I know that only owning one bra is impractical. So I assume that's true for trans non-binary people with binders. I want to help my student acquire a second binder, but I'm hesitant about how to do so, knowing how the parents could react. I thought about ordering it for them, but I don't know their size or preference. Or maybe I could give them money inside of a Christmas card and make sure they don't open it with their parents around. Working in entertainment, I know if I mentioned this to my coworkers, I'd have a couple of people wanting to donate to help as well. But I just worry about the general safety of my student if the parents were to find out and then stop me from teaching them. Is all of this me overstepping and I should just stick to being a supportive teacher? What are your thoughts? Ooh. Thank you.
Damn, that's difficult because I can see it through both sides. You know, I can see it from like being a trans kid, and then I can also see it from having a guitar teacher when I was 14 who was like emotionally inappropriate with me. So
right.
I know.
Right.
It's hard to know, you know? It's hard to know. But I feel like giving them the money and being like
Christmas gift, whatever you want, deniability.
Yeah. Also like, yeah, it seems like they have a friend who's willing to buy them the binder. You know, it would be one thing if it's like you're their only lifeline, you know?
Right.
But if it's, you know, if you're giving them a gift and they can get their friend to do it, like, I feel like, you know, being, I feel like there's a really fine line between being supportive and like inserting yourself.
Right. You
know, yeah. And like, unless the kid has like identified something to you as to like needing your help, especially, I mean, I don't know if they are like quite a direct communicator, which, you know, I know sometimes people on the autism spectrum are, and they haven't communicated to you that they would like your help.
Right.
I would not ask your coworkers or, right. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
too
I wouldn't
complicated. I think you should give them money for Christmas and mm-hmm. just be like, this is for whatever you want. Wink, wink, and give it to them at the lesson. Maybe like in the card, write a little link to a binder company. I don't know. Just like
don't
give
do
them
that.
A No. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Even giving them a gift, the parents might find unusual.
The parents might find out. Yeah. I mean.
But I don't know. Maybe parents don't care because like, you know, my guitar teacher, like, she would come give me guitar lessons at the house. And then, you know, she was like, come over to my house. And I went over there. My mom picked me up over there. So, like, you know, maybe
okay,
the parents don't give a shit.
That's dark, Mal. This person
no,
has
she
pure
recorded,
intentions.
She recorded something for me, you know.
Yeah, this person has pure intentions.
Yes.
If anyone has other advice, please write in. I'm sure this is a relatable situation for a lot of teachers. But I do think maybe the money idea is the best way to go. They're also a junior, so maybe they're like only a couple years away from being 18. So right. It's only, you know, I know 2 years seems like a lot, but they're almost free kind of.
Can you talk to them like, or is it like the parents are there? No, I guess not. If they're telling you about their life, then presumably
right.
you have some privacy. So why don't you just right. ask them the best way to support them? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I do think, especially even with like 16-year-olds, whatever, like I do think that it is you part of like supporting them and like caring for them is holding some boundaries in terms of like
yes.
how emotionally close you get in that way.
Yes.
Like
yes.
like be there for them as a lifeline, be there as a safe person. You know, help
you, can't
you can
take
help
this
them.
On.
You can help them like insofar as like they want your help, but you can't like don't project things onto them.
Correct.
Don't project a need to save them onto them if that's not what they're identifying, you know?
Yes. Very good advice, Mal.
Spin okay. on both sides.
This is a very trans episode. Okay. Hi, Gab. Longtime listener, first time writer, and I'm writing in response to the episode on transitioning. I'm a trans man who moved to Germany to be with my pandemic partner, LOL, truly the modern fairy tale. And now I'm looking into starting HRT here. In theory, I should be able to just schedule an appointment with the endocrinologist, but the reality is, if I want the public health insurance that every German citizen has to cover for it, I have to get diagnosed by a psychiatrist who can then refer me after 6 to 12 months. Information can vary. The insurance would then take from 90% to the full cost of hormones. Again, information varies, and the doctor's appointments are covered in full. My current struggle is finding a therapist in my area who specializes in gender and can speak English, since I couldn't possibly explain how much dysphoria affects me with my very small Deutsch vocabulary. I can only joke about how one cannot spell geschlacht, gender, without schlacht, bad, LOL. I'm saying all of this wrong. This situation is specifically annoying since my current therapist, who's known me for years, would have been able to refer me months ago in my homeland. In which transitioning would also be possible to do with the free healthcare, but would mean I'd have to sit on a waiting list for months and years. No idea how I'm even going to go about changing my name with the whole being an expat thing. Shrug emoji. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I understand that this might not be particularly useful info for a lot of your audience, but I wanted to share a perspective from two countries, one first world country and one not, that do provide state healthcare and yet make you pay for it with your patience and life energy. The grass is greener nowhere, it seems. And on the note of clothing having no gender, I would like to reaffirm your point of view and say that while that might be true in theory, ignoring social dysphoria is in fact very invalidating and not helpful to trans people at all. Looking at you, well-meaning allies, wearing a wrong cut of pants will change how people treat me and it objectively affects my mental health. Feeling good in what you wear is only half the reason a gender-affirming wardrobe is necessary. Anyway, thanks for the reading and feel free to edit when necessary. You're an absolute queer icon and I hope more and more people can benefit from your self-made wisdom. All the love, Nate, he, they. P.S. Hi, Mal, if you're there today. I miss you saying into it along. Hello. I absolutely started doing that out loud because of you.
I try to catch it, but I never know when they're going to say it. They change the format every time.
I'm here to just switch things up. Keep it interesting.
Gemini. It's interesting. Because they're like, oh, if you in the public, in like, you have to jump through all these bureaucratic hoops if you have like public health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of with private health insurance too, right? Like, have you ever been like, have you ever had private health insurance and been like, I have to find a new OBGYN?
Yeah.
They're like, we're booked up for the next 4 months, you know? And you're like, well, what if it's an emergency? And they're like, well, are you an existing patient?
Is it an emergency?
And you're like, no. Well, they're like, are you an existing patient? If you're an existing patient, then if it's an emergency, they'll get you in. But if you're not, they're like, well, sorry, too bad, so sad for you, you know?
Right.
Maybe it's worse. I don't know. But I don't think it's better with private insurance.
I also, I've never thought about having to find a therapist who speaks English and who is good with gender. And
can you bring your partner or a translator?
Ooh, a translator. Interesting.
Well, like, I know in America, like, you can request that in some medical settings. But in your case, I'm wondering if it would be easier just to ask if you can bring your partner to help translate for you if you sign a release, you know, if you sign a release form.
Yeah. Also, how bad was my German? Let me know.
I think it's pronounced schlecht, right?
Schlecht.
Like, ich bin schlecht, schlecht. Ich bin müde und schlecht.
We're going to get raked over the coals again because we just constantly are.
Well, you know what I say to that?
What?
Ausgezeichnet, baby.
What's that?
Awesome.
Okay, this person breaks it down Canadian style.
Ooh,
hi, Gabby.
With some flat bacon
and some.
Break it down
Montreal
Canadian style with an axe, and you do it at an angle. Is that what it is?
Maple syrup comes flourishing out of the tree. Okay, hi Gabby.
Sap.
I'm Harper. He him. It is sap. It's not maple syrup. Whatever.
You have to boil it down in the Sugar Shack.
The Sugar Shack, my new band. Okay, hi Gabby. I'm Harper. He him, and I'm a binary trans guy from British Columbia, Canada. I found it fascinating to listen to other people's anecdotes about the cost of transition and wanted to pitch in. No pressure to read this on the pod, in part or in full, but I thought it would be interesting to provide a Canadian perspective, specifically British Columbian, since all the province and territory's policy on trans care are different. BC is
known to be.
I didn't know that either. BC is known to be a pretty progressive province for reference, and all dollar amounts are in Canadian dollars. I've divided this lengthy email into sections so you can just read the topics you have an interest in and add definitions for the two acronyms I use throughout it at the end. Hormones. Doctor's visits and blood tests are already covered by our Provincial Medical Service Plan, MSP, so going on hormone replacement therapy is relatively inexpensive. Our province has an informed consent model, so you simply have to go to a doctor who is comfortable going through these steps with you. HRT is not covered by MSP, so injectable testosterone is about $60 per vial, 2 to 3 months of T, out of pocket, unless you can get it covered by your own insurance or under special authorization from the provincial government. You can also get gel, the patch, or oral testosterone, all of which costs about $130 per month out of pocket.
They got oral testosterone over there? We don't got oral testosterone, do we? I never heard of that.
I know about oral estrogen.
I know, but I never heard of oral testosterone.
Maybe it's just drinking the gel. Okay.
No, you can't do that.
Don't do that. I'm just kidding. I personally pay about $14 per vial under my insurance, so $65 annually. Top surgery. For top surgery, most of the costs are covered as well. You do require what's called a surgery readiness assessment, which is similar to an informed consent process where they talk about your trans history, ask about your expectations of top surgery, and go over the different surgeries and their risks. That is free if you find a qualified assessor funded by MSP. Otherwise, you have to pay out of pocket for a psychiatrist. My friend was quoted $800 for 4 sessions. After that, your reference is forwarded and you're put on the provincial top surgery waitlist. From there, you get a call to choose your surgeon and they are put on the surgeon's waitlist. Most surgeons are in Lower Mainland, think Vancouver area, so travel costs are something to consider if you're up north. In BC, you cannot pay privately for top surgery in province, though you can go to a different province or country and pay out of pocket. That's weird.
Interesting.
Huh.
They don't have a market for like
private top surgery,
or I would guess private elective surgery at all then, right? Or is it just top surgery?
I don't know. The only other costs for the procedure are the pain meds, maybe $30 for after surgery, and the surgery vest, around $60. Additional liposuction is not included and can be up to $5,000 out of pocket, depending on what you want done or who your surgeon is. That's crazy.
Wait, you mean liposuction of the chest area or additional liposuction like of your like hips and flanks, I wonder?
I don't know. Of the chest area should not be $5,000, but I don't know.
I agree. You're already under and everything. Additional $5,000? Come on.
No. I think it's if you, like the guy I'm dating had to go back and get some more tissue taken out from his top surgery.
That should be considered a revision, and that should be covered under the surgeon.
Yeah, and it was. But maybe not in Canada.
When I got my top surgery, they were like, we could do your hips and stuff, and it would be an additional $3,000, which I think is sort of like $5,000 Canadian, right?
Don't let them touch your ass. Absolutely. Well,
I don't let them take anything out of that ass, Mal. I regret saying no, but I was like, it's $3,000 extra dollars. I don't got that right now. But like now to go back and get it done, it would be way more. So
if they even take 1 inch of fat out of that ass, Mal.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to sue them. Okay. Of course, another cost is lost wages. I had part-time jobs in the service industry and at my university at the time and took 4 weeks off with no pay to recover. The whole process from my readiness assessment to surgery took just over a year, and I felt fully functional by 2 months post-op. Lower surgeries in general. I have not gotten any lower surgeries yet, hysterectomy and phallometa, so I don't know any of the hidden costs, but up front, they are both fully covered by MSP. For all lower surgeries, you again need to get a readiness assessment done by a qualified assessor or psychiatrist, so the potential cost of a psychiatrist is one to keep in mind. Mm. Hysterectomy and bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy. I really got to learn how to say this. Other than drugs and lost wages, I am not aware of any other hidden costs for this surgery. Unlike top surgery and bottom surgery, there's no centralized list for this, and you just have to get referred to a surgeon or gyno that will do this for you after your readiness assessment. The wait lists are about a year long for a consult. I'm almost at a year, crossing my fingers. And then you get surgery when they can fit you in. It's a 4 to 6 week recovery, so those are wages you may lose. Bottom surgery. Recently, the province has started offering phalloplasty, metoidoplasty, and vaginoplasty in province. Previously, you had to get bottom surgery in Quebec, or if you could convince the government why you can't get what you want in Quebec, they would pay for your surgery elsewhere, usually in America. Now there is a centralized waiting list for bottom surgeries in BC, and this is the only way to get the surgery covered. There is only one team located in Vancouver that does this, so travel costs are a concern for those not from the area. The waitlist itself is about 2 to 3 years for a consult, and then requires 2 to 3 surgeries, all of which takes 6 to 8 weeks of recovery before you can resume normal activities. Additionally, the complication rate is high, especially if you get urethral lengthening, so you may have to get more surgeries if a complication does arrive. Whoa. Yeah.
That is a thing.
Lost wages are a huge consideration, as well as the cost of care post-surgery. Most get family or loved ones to take care of them, but I have met someone who paid to stay in a care facility in the States where he could get professional help while staying close to his surgeon. Drugs are another cost to consider, as you most likely have to get painkillers, muscle relaxants, anti-spasm and anti-nausea meds, and stool softeners, to name a few. You also have to get hair removal, electrolysis recommended, in the case of phalloplasty and vaginoplasty, which is an out-of-pocket cost. Holy crap! Legal transition. Honestly, this is the one that has cost me the most so far, and I actually have the exact numbers on this one. It cost $82 to notarize my documents, $77.50 to do electronic fingerprinting and a criminal record check, $137 to submit and process the name change application, and $17 to change the name and gender marker on my provincial ID, driver's license, and healthcare card. I still have yet to change my info on my passport, social insurance card, and Canadian citizenship card, so I don't know the cost of those yet. Thanks if you read my email. I really appreciate your podcast, and it's always interesting to tune in every week. Cheers, Harper.
Sick.
Holy crap.
So I guess in Canada, it's like, free. I guess what I'm learning on this episode of the podcast is like the healthcare is free. You don't have to pay that much for your transition, but you just have to pay for it in time because you have to wait.
Oh my God. 2 to 3 years?
You've been getting antsy to have to wait a couple months.
I'm ridiculously antsy. I call and bother the top surgery people like once a week being like, is it ready? Is it ready? Is it ready? I'm the most annoying person that this woman has to deal with. And I don't care. Since when has that bothered you? Only 1 week, guess what? I'm glad I called.
Yeah. Since when has that bothered you in your life?
Being the most annoying person someone knows, it's never bothered me. Like, it's kind of looking like December, and I'm, like, so anxious that it won't be December. Okay. 2 to 3 years, that bumped for me so hard, I can't even imagine. Yeah. Okay.
Also, I didn't know that they would pay for you to come to America.
I didn't either. Also, why crazy. Quebec?
What do you mean, why Quebec?
Like, why can you go, they send you to Quebec?
It's like a major province, right?
Yeah. Maybe there's they're like, Montreal, the land of the fancy free. Get whatever you want here.
Well, there's probably more doctors in like.
Yes, there are.
Montreal than there are in like, I don't know, New Brunswick. Is New Brunswick a city? That's in British Columbia, right?
Look it up.
Anyway, I'm just saying like there's probably a reason that they send people there. It's probably there's more doctors and stuff there. I don't know.
New Brunswick in Canada.
I'm not a doctor or a Canadian.
It is. It's in Canada. I got worried that. For a second. I was like, is that in Delaware? We are so smart and yet so, look, I was
educated. No, I knew that New Brunswick was in Canada.
I was educated in Florida.
Oh, God.
I don't know anything. Okay. Hi, Mal and Gabby. You asked in a recent mailbag for details on hysterectomy costs. I'm a cis female and needed a hysterectomy for 6 fibroids, including one almost the size of a grapefruit at age 40 this year. I don't know how useful this is since I am probably the best case scenario for costs. I have generous PTO and pay for the more expensive health insurance plan at my job, so I had fairly low out-of-pocket costs. My hospital copay for the pre-op testing and surgery was $50. Also, my OBGYN billed the pre-op consultation, the surgery, and the post-op as a group, so I basically paid $160 copay for her office instead of $25 for each. Yes, it is a separate charge for the doctor's office and for the hospital, which surprised me. Due to the size and thickness of the fibroids, they were not able to operate laparoscopically, so I was cut open from hip to hip about 7 inches, which required a longer recovery time. Holy shit, Carrie. Okay, you're badass. I was originally written out of work for 4 weeks, but it was extended to 5 weeks since I was not healing as well as expected. Again, I am the best case scenario, and I have been with my employer for 12 years and had 3 weeks of sick time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself, and I have to run everything on my own, and it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me, and we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? There you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news, Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative, Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's M-O-N-A-R-C-H-M-O-N-E-Y. .com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit.
When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'm banked to support the short-term disability insurance I also have through work, which only pays 60% of your salaries after the first 5 days out of work. The sick time
covered.
Oh, wait,
it's through your work.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking you had Aflac or something.
Is that a promo for your dad?
No, it's not a promo.
Your dad sells Aflac? Anyway.
It's not a promo for my dad. Oh my
God. He does sell Aflac.
Yes, okay, I know. But that's how I know about short-term like disability plans and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's always talking about them.
He's always on his phone, wheeling and dealing. Okay.
Wheeling and dealing.
The sick time covers
nobody
the first...
plans. Oh, nobody plans to be in an accident.
He says that. The sick time covered the first week and the remaining 40% and was paid directly from my employer. And I had 4 weeks of PTO saved as well in case the sick time ran out. So I was able to get fully paid between the two. The short-term disability did take about 5 weeks to start sending checks and sent them for 2 weeks at a time. So there was a time when I was only getting partial checks. However, again, I was best case scenario and had savings to hold me over. My husband took over all the housework, and my sister came and helped frequently and made some meals since he is a terrible cook, even with meal kits like HelloFresh. My friend sent DoorDash and Grubhub gift cards. The ordering out was the biggest unexpected expense for me and would have been way worse without a husband and sister to help. Standing to cook was impossible for a couple weeks and uncomfortable for a while after that. My two dogs were also cared for by my husband, but without him, I would have had to board them since there was no way I could care for them for the first couple weeks and was limited in what I could do for the remaining 3 weeks. The boarding facility we have used in the past is $40 a night per dog, so it would have been at least $1,000 if I lived alone to make sure my dogs were cared for those first couple weeks. We don't have kids, but that would have been even more consideration if we did. Yeah, Carrie, you would have to board those kids. Just kidding.
Was there a version of that? No.
No.
I don't think there is.
Sleepaway camp?
Boarding school. It's in the name. Boarding school.
It's boarding school.
Right.
Okay. The hysterectomy was actually the second surgery within the calendar year for this. First, my doctor and insurance insisted they try the less invasive surgery first of removing the largest fibroid at the time. About 3 months after, the scan showed the six fibroids that they didn't take out had significantly grown after the surgery. No.
The six other fibroids were like, thanks for making some room in here for us to grow.
Time to get bigger. I paid all my copay costs twice to get the result I actually wanted, but that recovery was only 5 days. Again, I don't know how useful this is since I fully recognize I'm in a very fortunate position to have good health insurance, two incomes in my house, a partner to pick up all the housework, and a savings safety net. But literally,
and it was still hard.
I know. But literally any of those missing would have been a very different story for me. Thanks for the work you do on the show, Carrie, she, her. Holy crap, Carrie.
Wow, Carrie.
Holy crap.
I'm so sorry that happened.
Wow. Okay. Are you ready for more numbers?
Numbers?
Yeah, numbers. Coming at you hard. Coming at you fast.
What kind of numbers?
I'll tell you. Hi, Gabby. Just listened to your episode on the cost of transitioning, and I wanted to share my spreadsheet that I have made to track the cost of my transition since 2019. Are you a Capricorn? Anyway, I'm just asking. Okay. My name is Asa. I'm 23 years old, and I use they, he pronouns. Here's my transitioning story. I came out as non-binary in 2018 and bought masculine clothes, a cost not reflected on my spreadsheet. In 2019, I came out as transmasculine and bought my first binder. I had a very large chest before top surgery, and I had a hard time finding a binder that worked for me. So I bought a few from different brands, spending $205 total. Packers bring my total spend on trans gear to $395. I had two consults and had top surgery with the second surgeon in NYC in June 2020. I hadn't fully paid my deductible by the time I got top surgery, so the surgery was more expensive than it would have been if I had. As you can see in my spreadsheet, I spent $1,268 on the surgery itself. I should note that I called my insurance four times before the surgery to find out how much it would cost, and each of the four numbers they gave me were different, and all of them were wrong. My scars became keloids after the surgery and needed additional treatments, each of which had a copay. I started on testosterone in January 2021. I started on the more expensive gel before switching to testosterone injections a month later. I am allergic to the oil in testosterone cypionate.
Yeah.
So I switched formulas, and the one I use currently comes in larger vials, so I don't have to fill it as often. My insurance doesn't make me pay for lab work, but I do pay to see my endocrinologist. I have been on testosterone for close to 2 years and have paid $539 on related expenses. I changed my name legally to Asa in 2021. As you can see in the spreadsheet, the process took 3 months and cost $263 in NYC. It's not fully complete as I still need a new birth certificate. Even though the testosterone made my period go away, I was still dysphoric about the fact that I had the ability to get pregnant, so I got a hysterectomy with a surgeon in Boston. The date of my surgery was June 24th, 2022, and I was in the OR getting my uterus removed when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Whoa, yikes. Asa writes, insurance covered it, and I paid $605 for the procedure and related expenses. I had already paid my deductible by the time of the surgery. I have had a few different lower surgery consults, and I plan on having first stage metoidioplasty in 2023. I'm not sure if my mom will feel comfortable caring for me after lower surgery as she had for my top surgery and hysterectomy. So in that case, I may pay for a T4T caregiver from www.t4tcaregiving.org.
I didn't even know about that. That's a thing.
I didn't know about that either. That's amazing. I have spent $185 on consults so far. I have spent $3,524 on my transition as of today. I don't plan on being on testosterone forever, and I currently plan to stop taking it by the end of 2023. So second stage metoidioplasty will be the final phase of my transition. Maybe at the end of 2023, I'll update you with the total cost of my transition. I would predict how much I will spend, but all the predictions I have made so far turned out to be wildly incorrect. I love the show. Sincerely, Asa. And then they sent me their spreadsheet.
That's pretty awesome that they sent their spreadsheet.
It is so well done. I'm really impressed. Wow.
I would be nervous to make myself one of those spreadsheets. I don't want to know.
Right? It's kind of like, it's good to know, but it's also kind of a bummer.
Yeah. It's like,
wow. Well, Asa, I bow to you. I assume you're some sort of Capricorn or Virgo. And
Or an accountant.
Okay, here is an email from Sammy. Hey, Gabby. Sammy. I'm Sammy, he, him, cis, bi, boy. Longtime fan of the pod, been listening on and off since 2018.
Sammy's such a cute name for a boy.
Isn't it? It's really cute. Yeah. I really love your podcast and wish there was something like it for people outside the US because I often find money podcasts in Australia, please don't do the accent, are all run by finance bros and girl bosses. Wow, Sammy. Wow. Did you hear that?
Wait, what is it?
Sammy wrote that they're in Australia. He's in Australia and then said, please don't do an accent.
That's fair. That's fair. Listen, when I was supposed to tour in Australia like before COVID, and the people that were going to take me on tour were like, listen, either here are your two options. You don't do Down Under Mal at all. Or you do it the whole time.
Wow. Wow.
So, I get it.
Wow.
It's like the cake scene in Matilda.
Wow, Sammy. You've really shook me over here. Okay.
Yeah. All I want now is to
I know, but we can't. Sammy said no.
I won't.
And we respect your boundaries.
Yeah.
One of your listeners wrote into your episode on the cost of transitioning, mentioning how they found it really beneficial for their recovery to take 6 weeks off post-op, which reminded me of something I was working on advocating for at my old job, paid transition leave, also referred to as gender affirmation leave. The term is probably self-explanatory, but in practice, I've seen it generally means at least 4 weeks paid leave for someone who is trans to recover from surgery or spend time doing vocal work. In Australia, there's no automatic right to paid transition leave. However, leave entitlements can vary from employer to employer depending on company policy and the enterprise bargaining agreements, EBA, if there is one. It's rare companies will have this form of leave in their policy. However, it is listed in a few EBAs. To give a very basic explanation of what an EBA is, it's basically an agreement an employer makes with their employees who are often assisted by a union. It sets out a number of things such as how much and what types of leave employees are entitled to and what their rates of pay will be. It is approved by Australia's Employment Tribunal and usually lasts 3 to 5 years. EBAs can vary wildly, and some employees have managed to secure things such as menstrual leave, cultural leave to attend ceremonies like funerals or festivals, substitution of a public holiday. Many people like to work on Australia Day, which is basically the equivalent of Columbus Day, and request an alternative day off instead, and paid transition leave. An example of an employer who has this type of leave in their EBA is the government of Victoria, my state. Its employees are entitled to up to 4 weeks, 20 days paid leave for essential and necessary gender affirmation procedures.
Wow.
And up to 48 weeks of unpaid leave. I recommend any of your listeners in Australia who are considering or about to transition to look up and see if their work has an EBA and whether they are entitled to this form of leave. To find out if their workplace has an EBA, they can go to the Fair Work Commission website. As a unionist myself, I would also recommend joining your union as they are likely to be able to assist you if you received any pushback about taking this form of leave. They can also help out if you experience discrimination in the workplace on other protected grounds. Just to clarify, as I am a lawyer, a baby lawyer, I've only started this year, this is not to be considered legal advice, merely some information that might hopefully point any Australian trans listeners to something hopefully useful. A baby lawyer!
Aww.
Sammy, the baby lawyer. Okay, don't you wish you had said I could do the accent instead? I made that little jingle for you. I also have a game recommendation that is sort of money related. The ABC.
Oh yeah, we got to play games.
Yeah. The ABC, the Australian one, made a game to simulate what it is like to be an Amazon worker in one of their massive warehouses that might be fun / mirrored to the dystopia we live in for Mal to play. Here's the link. Then he gives the link. So less about stocks and managing money and more about the lengths you have to go to for Amazon to give you money. Anyway, no thanks peeing. Again for this podcast, comrade Sammy.
Yo, it's, you know what's interesting is like anytime somebody from elsewhere in the world writes in, I realize how bleak things are here in America. you know, it's like, they're like, oh, you know, you can, do you know that you might have access to like paid leave for like transitioning or like your gender? And it's like, we don't even have paid leave for people to have babies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're like before with the disability, why I know about disability policies is because like so many like pregnant people would call up and be like, so I'm pregnant and my, you know, I need like disability to in order to get like benefits to like leave my job to like take care of my baby for a couple of weeks. Like,
exactly.
And you can't get it once you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we're at in America.
I know.
Like, you know, it's like we might not even want to tell your job while you're leaving. You're going to get top surgery and then like come back and be like, it was fine. I had a family reunion that took a week and a half. Don't ask any further questions because you can still fire us for being trans.
Yep.
Like, that's where we're at. You can fire us.
Sammy, we didn't do the accent, but we did make you a jingle and yell. And I hope that was enough for you.
No, but I am so happy that I'm so happy that you're advocating for that in Australia. And I just wish that like somebody would come fix us.
Comrade Sammy, the Aussie baby lawyer. Comrade Sammy. Okay. So here is a doozy, y'all.
Oh no. This is a doozy? What kind of doozy? Can you emotionally prepare me? What flavor doozy?
It's about detransitioning.
Oh.
Okay. Hi there, Gabby and Mal. Love the show. I recorded a voice memo attached about my financial personal experience having bottom surgery plus corrective surgery that ended in regret and lots of debt. But I've also found a path forward without getting sucked into turfy regret rhetoric. The voicemail is long, 10 minutes, so feel free to cut it down or let me know if you'd like me to re-record, focus on one part of it. I listened to the voicemail and it's really good. We'll probably cut it down in the final edit. So that's what's happening here. A heads up. But I did listen to the whole thing. Also, I have a semi-anonymous YouTube account where I talk about issues around surgical regret, specifically from a trans-affirming perspective. TERFs shouldn't get to own regret and detransition narratives. I'm not sure if I want to link it to this voicemail if you end up airing it, but let me know if you're interested and I will consider sharing it. Thanks for all you do, Cass. So the voicemail was super interesting, but basically Cass is saying that they got bottom surgery And they ended up with a lot of complications. And so they had to get a revision surgery. And then after all of that and all of that, you know, money and trauma and everything, they realized that they were actually like more non-binary than binary. And that they, if they could go back in time, they probably wouldn't. Listen to this audio.
Hey, Gabby. Hey, Mel. My name is Cass. I use they, them pronouns. I'm living on the East Coast of the U.S. I'm 33. I wanted to just share a bit about heeding your call about trans femme, trans women surgeries, about being someone who had a bottom surgery and had a kind of a mixed to negative outcome. I was fortunate in lots of ways. I had surgery. I had a job. I had a degree. But I also was just paying tons of money. And I think the real impact of this was that I was having trouble building up my life as I was, you know, over time, I kind of shifted from a trans woman to a non-binary identity. I don't know if I really needed to do this particular thing. I think I could have waited and, you know, don't feel horrible that I went through this. I realized I was ace in the context and that was useful, but you know, I could have thought more about this. And also, you know, it took me several years to really, I ended up having to actually leave my original career trajectory just to make more money where I could. And also, you know, change some living situations. After a few years, I was able to consolidate all of my credit card debt at a credit union, which I would very much recommend considering, but only when you're really at a stable point where you feel like you're ready to make those payments and you aren't adding anything else. I literally dropped all those credit cards out of my wallet. I kind of, you know, been on that journey, and that was, I mean, all of this was 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm still paying off that debt, but, you know, I've built up my life back and I've figured out non-binary identity, figured out sexuality stuff. I have affection for this sometimes stingy, sometimes difficult part of me, but that nonetheless has gone on this journey with me. And, you know, regret is a scary concept. It was really hard to confront when I came out as non-binary that maybe I made the wrong decision. Maybe I moved in the wrong direction. But I think I realized that, you know, as trans folks, we do what we have to survive. We find ways forward. And even if you feel like you make a decision and it isn't the right direction, like, you know, by acting and trying and trying to know yourself, you know, it's good. It's good to try. It's good to try in different directions. And, you know, my life has opened up a lot when I've been open to those hard feelings. So yeah, I hope in that mix that, you know, practically, I'm much more pro waiting and pro making a pragmatic financial decision than an emotional one around transition. And also, I just want to share that, hey, even if you get into lots of debt and even if you have not the best outcome and you're not sure you should have gone down this path, like, you can be okay and you can love trans people and you can find your non-binary identity and you can find people who love you and your life won't be over. But, you know, these are just things to consider. So I wish all of your listeners love and strength on their journeys. You know, fuck TERFs, fuck insurance companies, and I'm glad you're out there as queer folks helping us live sustainable lives that are less allergic to money. Also watch out for credit cards. Okay, bye.
So they have a lot of like regrets around transition, but they did end up being, you know, like non-binary. So they didn't like quote unquote detransition, but they just felt that if they could go back, they wouldn't rush into surgery like that.
Right. I would be interested to like know more about like what, you know, made them feel that they had to, you know, move and sort of take these really rigid, like, you know, this is a new identity and I need to have X amount of surgeries. And, you know, like, I feel like detransition is really, really interesting topic, right? Because it does get co-opted and like weaponized against us by TERFs. But it is the reality of like what happens in the human experience sometimes is like sometimes people make decisions and they are like, that wasn't the right decision for me. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're filled with regret or that, like, you know, and like I feel like with people who aren't trans, with cis people, like, you make decisions that you regret all the time. You know, it's just like this.
I have cis woman friends that have regretted getting breast implants.
Right. So and that's not nearly as like politicized or surveilled as like trans identities. And I don't know, I think, but to me, it's interesting because like, I wonder, well, one, I don't know what's going on with this person, but I wonder, one, if any of their like regret in terms of surgery has to do with like the trauma of having surgery complications and go wrong and revisions and being put through like surgical trauma. Yeah. I also wonder if we didn't have these, if we didn't push these ideas, like if it wasn't people like TERFs who were pushing these ideas that like, if you're not trans, like whatever, if people wouldn't feel like no one is trans, they wouldn't feel like they would have these like knee jerk. I feel like people wouldn't feel like they would have these rigid ideas of like, this is the checklist of what you have to do to be trans. And if I don't do this, I'm not trans enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's sort of a self-fulfilling thing, right? Like if we gave people sort of like space to sort of like figure it out and be like, you know, maybe, you know, testosterone is right for you. Maybe it's not right for you. Maybe mm-hmm. this is right for you. Maybe it's not right for you. Neither thing makes you more or less trans. Like, you know, if mm-hmm. you feel that you're trans, you can't, you know, whatever. Then like in order to like respect their identity, then like, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with everything you're saying. I think I also think it's really – thank you for writing this in, Cass. I think this is a really important perspective that I don't think I've heard on this show, and I don't think I've heard on any finance show that wasn't like specifically like fuck trans people, which is why I wanted to include it and play it. And I also think that you're right that we – push trans people to look and be a certain way in order to be valid. And so that's why people rush into certain markers of transition, because they are like, they want everyone around them to treat them with respect and kindness and validation and affirmation, which people could just do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I feel like we want so like people thinking about gender, like just in American society, I feel like the inclination people want it to be black and white so bad, right? So it's like, but the reality
to me, it's painful when it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it, you know, we just like want to, I don't know. So it's almost
the
like
safety and security and stability of thinking that we are filed away and we know ourselves.
Exactly. And like the thing about it is that, we're in terms of gender, like we're all on our own little journeys, right? And mm-hmm. so what somebody might regret at this point, maybe this person will feel different in a year. Maybe they'll feel different from that a year from that. You know, like when I first went on testosterone, I probably went on and off testosterone like several times during that period. Because like, oh, changes are happening too fast, or oh, and you know, like whatever. Get freaked out, go back on, whatever. And that's not unusual. Like, it's not unusual for somebody to go on hormones. I've known people on both sides of like the trans spectrum. Like, I've known trans feminine people as well who have like gone on hormones, gone off hormones, been like, oh, that wasn't for me, I'm not trans, whatever, later on. Like, it takes a while.
Yeah.
So, and like each of those times that I went on and off testosterone, I didn't consider it to be detransitioning. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that was just like part of my process. And so, which I'm not saying that this person is not detransitioning, like that they definitely. if that's how they feel about themselves and that's what they're doing, like absolutely respect that. I also know people who have detransitioned, like, I don't know if they would put it in those terms, but like they were trans and now they don't identify that way. So like, and like that also like is a personal identity that needs to be respected. But I do feel like from the external, like outside of the community, like it should be a community conversation. There shouldn't be people outside of the community being like, oh, you went off your testosterone, so you are detransitioning and you are a failed woman or whatever the fuck.
And that's why I really wanted to include Cass's story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to end on a lighter note. This is a 1-star Apple review
from
listener 2299, title Screaming. Gabby, please stop screaming and screeching. It hurts. We can hear you, I promise.
Was that your mom? Did your mom leave that?
I won't. I, in fact, won't stop screaming. You know why? Because listen to a different show then. Oh. I don't know what to tell you. This is my voice. This has always been my voice. It's only going to get deeper. And I don't have anything for you. This is how I talk. You know what? Why don't you try growing up in a chaotic, alcoholic home where if you didn't scream, no one would listen to you? This is, I'm a Jew. We talk over each other. I got nothing for you. Perhaps you should examine why you feel the need to marginalize people's voices. How about that? About that?
I have a question.
What?
Do you think that they mean the way you talk, or do you think they literally mean those times when you get excited and go, ah? Because you do scream sometimes.
Well, excuse me for being enthused. Well, excuse my beauty. Whatever. Anyway, I take feedback really well here on the show. Okay.
Better than me.
If you want to submit a question or comment, you can do so at gabbyisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. You can also leave me a voice memo there. You can do a voicemail at 844-474-4040. We are on Discord, Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon. Links to those will be in the description below. Please leave a 5-star Apple review and say that you love that I scream. Also, listen to the show the day it drops so we can get on the charts and spread the word. Mal Blum, what say you?
I'm Mal Blum, M-A-L-B-L-U-M, everywhere in the world. And also, if you want to listen to my music, it's anywhere that you listen to music. My final thought for this episode is, please, sir, can I have some time off work to have a baby and transition, please?
And then the boss goes, no, and slaps the boss you says, in the face.
To have a water and do a water? Who are you? How did you get a fob to get in here? Security, take away their fob.
Okay, love you guys. Bye!
Done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.